Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of
the cool down.
I see Wonga's head was literally down, still from the results of the weekend, just down here. Just down there.
You can keep it down another week longer.
Hey, bro, these days, I look at kind of busy asking, are you guys coming tonight? I'm like, yeah, bro.
Tough times.
Well, where do we want to start here? I mean, you had a rough weekend there. We know Mossa is pretty much, he's happy, but he's also rolling in his own, I don't know, what criticism there of the player that's just telling him to shh, shh, shh.
Yeah, he's told me to shut the fuck up, actually. which is quite good, man. It's quite refreshing to see from a striker to tell people to just shut the fuck up and let him do what he does very well.
Yeah, most of
the I've been waiting for Shaka.
Work.
I've been waiting for Shaka to do that for me on my side.
You gotta keep waiting, bro. You gotta keep waiting, man.
Anyway, gentlemen, we've got Cole in the house. Thank you for joining us. And also, we've got, as you can see, we've got Matthew White, Matingu, the chief of our Spurs. What were you saying? Spurs candidate. Then we've got Celololo Kala, the Man United representative.
El Capitano.
He's wearing the captain's armband there for good reason. That's only
I don't know why.
I'm happy that they only got 1 point. And then Wonga, obviously, like we know, is that a rough one? Jason Sigel in the house saying, Wongs, is your seat at Goal Lounge in danger?
Yes. Ah, tough times are lasting.
100%, Jason. Very good question.
Nah.
He can just do what all the other Arsenal fans do and start supporting Manchester City.
If 100%.
But Wanga, I wouldn't be that confident if I were you, bro. It is actually in danger as much as it was last season. It's just started a lot earlier this season.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that you didn't beat Brentford our last says a lot. But yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't lie to you. Up front, it's going to be bad because even now the AFCON's going to ruin us as well, eh? If Bombing and them make it, then
wait. What do you mean if they make it?
As far as I understand, they qualify
by the end of the window. They're trying to get rid of him too.
I think they're trying to qualify, isn't it? Because that's what they said with Salah as well. They won't allow him to go to.
No, that's for World Cup. That's for World Cup. That's for World Cup qualifiers.
Oh, okay. So they're in. I must actually check that because I was misinformed. I must check that then.
I think you guys are going to lose the most players from this African Nations Cup, right?
To me? No.
It's happening in January.
It's Palace, I think.
Claudio. Claudio loses the most players.
You guys need players to lose players.
Yeah, Wonga's going to lose Wonga's going to lose Partey, Aubameyang, and Pepe.
Yeah. Pepe. That won't be losing him. That's... the rest I can say Partey, I think.
Liverpool 3 players, Arsenal 3 players, Chelsea, there's no one comes to mind.
Nobody comes to mind at this point in time.
Yeah, Man United, no one.
Mendy. No one in the starting.
Oh yeah, Mendy. Yeah, Mendy. Yeah,
yeah, Mendy.
Lose, yeah.
They'll lose Mendy only. And then Palace lose a couple of players. Spurs.
Aurier's not playing.
He hasn't been playing.
He's on his way out.
Yeah, so that's
Wonga, the player. Warren asked, do you think the coach would even notice if the players were missing?
he'll notice Pepe. He loves Pepe for some reason. So
Wonga, I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh man!
So are you telling me that the last 10 games of the season, Pepe was not your best player? Please tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. If I was watching a different club,
no, he was. Oh no, he was. But for me, we need consistency out of him. Maybe the price tag puts it. Maybe my expectations a bit more for him, but. Like that thing with Pepe, it's he had a good. I was like, was it 10? I think it was far less. It could have been 5.
Five. Because when you say 10, I'm thinking Smith Rowe as well now, and that's difficult.
Smith Rowe, but you see, that's what I'm saying, Lucello. You see Smith Rowe when you saw him on the weekend. You see him now. You see him before the whole season last season. He's you're getting consistency. You know what you're going to get from him, you know. Pepe, I don't know what I'm going to get from him. And again, I was always bringing it up. You're spending that much money, I would have thought.
Feel like the amount of money that was spent so far that has been spent this window has been a bit of a scapegoat for a player like Pepe. I think all the other players coming in with those values might take the pressure off him. We might maybe, hopefully, see a bit of a better player. Also, I just want to say, M-Dog Uru back in the house here with us. He hasn't been here for a while, but also we're going to be talking about the Liverpool-Chelsea game on Thursday. Today, we're going to be covering all the results that happened. And also, can we just give a little shout out to a latecomer? And we can't really excuse the lateness or the tardiness, rather, but we can say it's maybe because his team I haven't been performing for the last two seasons.
He's following in his team's record. What's happening, Mr. Nick?
Nick, Nicholas.
I see he had time to fix his hair, though, before the show. He probably still can't hear us, but we're going to continue. Gents, we're going to talk about the first game. Oh, he's in the house.
I hear you.
Into the building.
I'm going to throw this laptop off the balcony. I'm
livid. All the way from the north.
I feel like a Newcastle fan right now.
Bordering on the country.
Seeing everything in black and white.
I apologize to all the Goal Lounge viewers as well as my squad. But I'm not happy right now. But yeah, let's carry on, guys. Let me hear what you have to say.
You're in very good company with Wanga at the moment. I don't think he's very happy about his team at the moment as well.
I was enjoying.
Very good company.
seeing as we are waiting for you, Nick, we might as well start with the first game. I mean, the Villa, 2 goals, Newcastle 0. I think most of us kind of predicted this on the weekend, did we not? Did we not say Villa were going to win?
There were a few people that said Newcastle.
I was positive Newcastle would have done something.
I was in a bit of a position. I couldn't watch a game. Our team was playing in Soshanguve, so I watched the last 30 minutes on the way home. For me, you know, Callum Wilson has a big chance in the beginning of the game. I think if he scores that, it's maybe a different sort of outlook going into the second half. You know, let's be fair, Danny Ings scores an absolute worldie. You know, like that's probably a contender for the goal of the season already. But take it easy, Jason. But I need to talk about VAR slightly. Like, I don't know, the 2 goals or the 2 penalties, the 1 penalty that was given, the 1 penalty that wasn't. I thought that was a little bit shaky from their point of view. Callum Wilson all of a sudden has a size 15 boot in comparison to the rest of it. I don't know if you guys saw the actual visual of it. But his boot, his one boot is double the size of his other boot. I don't know how the picture got that way. But I mean, there was a comparison, with regards to the Man United goal last week, where there was a VAR check and obviously the goal was given. I think we were a little bit hard done by, but, obviously, you know, our defensive worries, continue as Newcastle fans.
He's looking
for a home. Don't you want to take him?
Phil Jones.
Take Pablo Mari, bro.
Respect me, man.
Wanga, you'd probably want to offload your entire defense, champ.
Yeah, might as well play out there. But it goes, bro.
Sign Jones. At least you'll have a player be tackling with his head there if you sign him.
When last did Jones actually even play? Cello, you could maybe tell us.
That's a good question.
I think he last played in 2019.
Not in his garden. Hey. We're talking about the pitch.
But didn't he have to run out with the reserves? Hasn't he been playing with the under-23s in that for a bit?
Yeah, so he came on in the behind-closed-doors game last week. We played Burnley last week in a little friendly on a Tuesday. And he played. He played 30 minutes. So he has played a couple of minutes, you know. So I think he would definitely add some you know, experience that defends Newcastle. Come on, man. Brucey, come on.
Did you just say he played 30 minutes?
Yeah.
It was a friendly.
That's a scary, scary number.
It was a friendly match. People had to
Did they put him on as in his in the last 30, or did he actually start and then no, get
last,
injured?
Last 30.
Oh, just so they're using 30. Him as an option, just to see what's what.
Come on, Vic,
he can potentially be. He can potentially be an impact player for Man United one day. That's why they give him the 30 minutes.
Like it's a loan. It's a loan.
Show something, boy.
We pay half the wages. You pay half the wages. It's
listen, listen. Anything's possible with Bruce. He might just sign him and give him the biggest contract in the club. But I think just answering what Jason says, yeah, you know, obviously the fans are hoping for more signings. We would love more signings. But Bruce came out, I think it was yesterday, and he said, you know, as he normally does when it comes to the last week of the transfer window, he's like, yeah, you know, financially it's a little bit tough. We'll look to get one or two loans over the line and potentially trying, yeah. potentially get another goalkeeper. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Jeepers, we've got the one position you guys are covered, though.
Now, but we've got a one where you, yeah. yeah, we've got a bit of a crisis at the moment. Dalo and Dubravka are injured. So, yeah, I understand, man. You bring a fourth goalkeeper in, you know, it might be a little bit of a, you know, I'd rather have a midfielder in or a striker who can do something or possibly a defender better than Phil Jones. So it's a little bit, you know, we're in waters that we've already seen before. You know, it's not untested waters. You know, we know exactly what to expect. More than likely nothing. And unfortunately we 2 games and 0 points. So, you know, would I have taken this in the beginning of the season? No, but would I have expected it? Probably. So yeah, I'm hoping that we can potentially get a win against Burnley this week. And then if we can get a win, we can progress.
How would you feel?
He's not going to get
it. How would you feel with 3 games at 0 points?
Ask Wanga, because Wanga might be in the same.
I've been in a position as a Newcastle fan. We haven't got one win in 7 games. So I think anything's possible with Ashley at the helm. So he's going to keep Bruce in charge as long as he can. And, you know, if he's got a chance to sell the club, he might make a change towards the end of the season. So we with Bruce, I think at least until February. And I'll keep calling for him to go out, but I don't think Ashley watches Goal Lounge TV. So unfortunately, I don't think he'll listen to me.
Not yet.
Sorry, man.
With all those factors we've been sending him, I think he sold us a different email address. I think that's what's going on.
Yeah. But, yeah, Newcastle. We might go against Southampton in the next game and end up winning the tie, and we'll see. I don't know. You know, don't be surprised, Cello. You know, we tend to pick up our game when we play against these big teams. So we play you after Southampton. And you know what I think it is? Claudio, you saw this when you played at Tux. Mosa, you would probably be the same. When you were like in the Castle team and you had an opportunity to play against the first team, or you played against a team in another higher division, you're sort of playing for a contract. You're playing to sort of portray yourself. So you sort of elevate yourself. So I wouldn't take us for granted, Cello, when we come to, I think we come to you guys.
All the Newcastle players are playing for contracts elsewhere is what Nick's is getting
potentially.
To.
Listen, if you say maximum and Callum Wilson, would you not be? Would you rather be? Yeah. Would you be at Newcastle? Yeah. Would you rather be at a Man United or a Spurs or a Chelsea? You know, like I think like they need to get there.
Or the other 15 clubs above you.
Hey, take it easy, bro. Take it easy, man.
It's tough. It is what it is.
Oh man,
gents, we spoke about this game. Nuno going back.
You can't laugh about it, Wanga, because you're in the same boat, bro.
That's what I said. I can't do a laugh about it. Like, I'm in the same ship as Nick. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but we're gonna save that signature for latter part of the show, because that's a juicy part, real juicy part. But we're going to talk, not that Spurs isn't as juicy, but I mean, we do know it's 2 Portuguese sides in technically on paper with all the coaches there, and they do like their chicken. So Matt, tell us about the flavor that you saw on the weekend.
And it's and Tottenham is a chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a
chicken. Yeah, the
it's
emblem.
A chicken
yeah.
versus it's a chicken cock, meet the wolf. I don't know what's
it's
going
cockerel.
On.
You
know,
it's a cockerel. It's
not, like, it's not a hen we're talking about.
The big fat
cock.
Big
fat
cock.
Same, but different.
Yes.
I've only put it together now. There's a reason why you peacock at work, Matt. There's a reason. Now I know.
It was a good game. I think quite a lot of Wolves fans will feel like they should have got something out of that game. They had their fair share of chances. There was a couple of instances where you felt they could have got a goal. The Traore one-on-one with Lloris stands out. You know, on another day, that's a goal. Although he had a one-on-one against Leicester he also missed, I think. I think that's a part of his game that's missing. There was a few times where he would muscle his way into a position and not be able to finish the shot. I think his finishing is what's lacking from Traore's game. But good result for Spurs. Answer Nicholas's question. I think definitely Colwer. Ali's been in the England fold before. He's such an incredible talent. He can do so much. I've spoken about it before. I think we're starting to see him get back to where his best is. When he's at his best, he's creative. He sees movement that nobody else does. He gets into the right place. And in similar ways to Grealish, he invites on a foul. He draws defenders onto him in a way where they can't help but take his legs.
Very, very well, actually.
Yeah, he does. And he's also, I think what I love about watching Dele Alli play is just, he seems to just love it so much. When he's having a good day, he's smiling on the ball, he's laughing, he's enjoying himself. And it's so easy to enjoy that, because that's how we all got into football. We played football because it was fun. And he seems to still have that when he's in a good mood, when he's in a good vein of form.
But do you not think he's rebranded himself? Like, he's I've been away.
He's a different
and
guy.
And now
right
I've come
now.
Back. I've rebranded myself. I'm this new player.
I'm a new man. It's so
weird. I've seen the highlights.
Mourinho sent me to Israel.
No. Listen, the sound was off. So I couldn't hear the commentators. And then I could see this player, and I'm like, who is this guy? I'm like, the Spurs signed someone new, and it's Dele Alli. Like, I'm like, you're branding yourself nicely.
Did he not buy his penalty though, guys?
But he's a professional.
You've seen those given every week.
Yeah, and
he's a professional. Like, penalty, said, oh, it's okay. No, he's a professional buyer.
I don't mean it in that sense.
You get those that go to Mr. Price, and then you get those that go to Louis Vuitton for penalties.
When I looked at it, he left his legs dangling to make sure there's context.
He's very aware about. I think Dele Alli's strength is his awareness around him, where in the positions he's in. That's why he can actually capture a lot of free kicks and fouls. He actually does it better than Grealish in my view, because he captures a lot of free kicks closer to the box and in front of the center spot of the box. And when you're in that position, similar to Neymar, if a keeper comes out and makes a mistake, they're going to pay the penalty of doing that with that player, right? They're doing it with the wrong player. Whereas other players might try and fight it off and try and recover their footsteps and try and do something which seems admirable at the time.
Wait for the trip.
Yeah.
And not play for it. Because I felt like he played for it and didn't wait for
it. He's smart. He's very smart and he's very talented. And that's where you see the awareness of the player, right? It seems like they have a radar around them. They can look behind their shoulders. They can look behind them. They can look in front of them to the left and right. But they don't actually have that radar. They just, like ourselves, they have eyes and an
Thanks
awareness.
Thanks for confirming that. So I was definitely thinking all the professional clubs put the radars in them and they're just like, beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep. It shows his brilliance in terms of how he knows where he is and his awareness in that area. And if he's looking for it, let him look for it all day. The keeper's awareness should then show that he's good enough to actually counteract Dele Alli's awareness. Similar to Neymar, you'd have the same discussion with players like Neymar regarding how they look for fouls. Sometimes they do that. They get themselves in a position where they throw out a trailing leg. And if the keeper's not good enough, they're going to get caught. And he did that exceptionally well.
Guys,
to put it into perspective, guys, you could say he hung the leg a bit, but there was contact. He didn't dive. There was genuine contact when he went down. And in the same way that we can praise defenders for
more contact
than
the England sort of penalty that we had.
Yes, more contact. Yeah.
Yes, more contact. Yeah, sorry, yeah. As you were, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame, guys. It's been so long. Like, are we going to move on? Like, we got to look forward. Don't look back. Come on.
move, gentlemen.
It didn't help them with the tournament, so we can.
Sorry, I'm just like, any time Matt speaks about a penalty now, that's all I think about. So his credibility goes completely out the window. But sorry,
oh, yeah, because Liverpool have never done anything dubious. Liverpool
no,
have
I'm not saying that. But I don't defend anything dubious. That's all I'm saying. But, as you were, man. What, anyway.
Look, eggs is eggs, Claudio. And
but you get cracked. What did you say? You get cracked eggs, you get scrambled eggs, you get boiled eggs. Anyway, so now we're talking about eggs.
Hard eggs doesn't matter. They're still eggs.
Yeah. Eggs are eggs.
I think in the same way that we can praise a defender for doing a cynical foul, you know, he does it on purpose, doesn't even go for the fall, just goes for the player to stop, to make up play. Then you got players like Grealish, like Ali, who see the foul coming and they know it's going to work for them, so they take the foul.
Mm.
I don't think that's any worse than a cynical defender taking it. Going for a cynical foul to break up play. It was maybe a softer penalty, but it was still an egg. And, you know, he took the penalty very coolly as well. Very, very composed finish.
Yeah, I know. That's good. That's good.
Very
yeah, it was well taken. I think it's, it shows his return to kind of form and confidence, which is awesome.
Yeah.
As Warren says, the whole team does seem happier. They do seem to be gelling. There's some really nice movements, particularly you look at Bergvine and his confidence, that move he did down the left, getting past those two defenders on the line. His footwork was phenomenal.
That was dirty.
You don't do that without confidence. You don't do that without kind of feeling it.
But
you know,
can I get a bit of credit
here? Something to play there. Go ahead, Nick.
I said Harry Kane's going to play, and all of you disagree. I think.
I said yes.
In all the comments, I said Harry Kane is going to play this weekend.
I said you play as well. Claudio said he's out. I said he was going to play and he was not traveling to Portugal because he's going to play. I said that. Go back to your footage. I said he's going to play.
Hey,
go back. Roll the tapes, guys. Roll the tapes.
Matt, the man is staying for one more season. So hopefully you can make Europa League and not the Conference League next season.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think there's... You can never know what Daniel Levy is going to do. It would not surprise me at all to see him do a deal for 150 mil on the last day. I think a lot of it depends on how well City keep doing. You know, if they still feel they've got a gap in their squad, I can see them ponying up the cash and then Spurs doing a deal. At the moment, I think it swings more in favor of him staying, but I'm not going to say that with certainty until transfer window is closed. Yeah. But that said, Spurs have been playing really good football. They don't look like a team that's missing a key player. Like Bergvine's had a rejuvenation. He's come back really strong. Son is still such an intelligent player. He finds gaps. There was a couple of instances in the game where you saw him raring to go, making it was smart moves where he makes just a yard of space for himself and that's all he needs. He's very confident to shoot. And I think the difference between Spurs and a few other clubs, and even Spurs last season, there's a lot of players who are prepared to take a shot. You know, they see an opportunity and they have a go. And that's how you win games. And you look at the way other clubs are struggling. I mean, I don't want to constantly tease Arsenal because their time will come today. But you do see with Arsenal, there's always that hesitance to be the one who takes the final move, takes the final shot. There's, you know, if they don't see the perfect opportunity, they'll rather pass back and try to build something up. Inevitably, they end up losing possession and losing the impetus. And I think that for me has been a positive development. That said, there were still some shaky moments at the back. Sanchez and Dyer had a couple of instances where they were a little bit off of it. They recovered well. They did the Traore's one-on-one was because Dyer was well out of position. He lost possession like halfway up the midfield. And then when they got turned, there was a big gap in the defensive line and Traore got through. Luckily, Lloris was able to deal with it.
Dare I say, I think, like getting into Champions League wouldn't be a difficult task for a Nuno with this kind of Tottenham, especially if Harry Kane stays. Getting into Champions League his kind of coaching style has shown you that already. It would benefit the players that are there. That counter-attacking approach where the guys defend well and actually express themselves as they go up the pitch. It actually suits the players that are there currently at Tottenham. And then having a Harry Kane in front of that would be a scary dynamic to deal with for a lot of other clubs. Or I'd be very scared as a Chelsea fan.
Dare you say at the expense of Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah. As a Chelsea fan,
at the expense of Chelsea,
Chelsea are
going to
be title contenders. That's what they all say.
No, not he's not even seeing himself in the top four bracket. Chelsea, he's Chelsea. The
that's title. Yeah, yeah. What
he's saying. Us Liverpool and us Man United there.
But Matt, what's happening? What's happening with Dombele, man? Hey Matt, what's happened with Dombele?
I don't know. I've been a bit disappointed with that one because he was such a good player last season. Even though we had a bad season, I thought he played really well. And I would have loved to see him in this system where we are more on the front foot, because he was a really good, you know, when we were a bit stagnant, when he was alongside Højbjerg, and Højbjerg would be that screen, that defensive shield, and then Dombele would take the ball forward and create something. And I think that's kind of one of the negatives of this, is kind of him and Sissoko both kind of slightly pushed to the outside, obviously not matching the system, which I think is a bit of a loss. And I think we might regret that later if we do, because I don't think it's going to be as easy as this. We've had two really good games, good performances from a lot of players, but it is going to be, the season is long. I don't know if I'm as negative as Jason. I think Spurs are in with a chance. They've given themselves the best possible opportunity, but it's going to be far more competitive this season than it's been for a long time. The Spurs could have a season that was 10 times better than last season and still miss out on top four, because it's going to be far more competitive this time around.
They might have a better chance than all the other teams right now to get into the top four because of having that manager there right now. I think it's very important.
That was my question though. The manager, Matt. Yeah. The overall feeling so far, is this a good one for you? Are you feeling like this is the right man for the job at the moment?
And possibly so far, so good. I mean, look, you know, I felt that way about Mourinho for a while as well. So you gotta kind of see it's how things go once we hit a rough patch. He hasn't been tested by that yet. We haven't seen a couple of players' form really drop off and see how he's had to deal with it. He's handled the Harry Kane situation phenomenally well. That's not an easy situation for any manager.
He is really good in the media. Really, really good.
He's very good, collected.
He's always calm.
He doesn't take a controversial question. He's not goading anyone. He hasn't thrown Kane under the bus. He hasn't thrown the club under the bus. He's just played it very straight, you know, very straight bat. And I think that's, in that sense, it's clear he's a good head. He's got a calm head at the top of the club. I think that's really good to see. So far, I feel positive. He seems to have the right kind of effects on the players. The players definitely seem to be enjoying playing for him a lot more. Very early days, but very good. I'll be keen to see how we are after the Arsenal game, because it's a few games in. There's a bit of the
after the
break.
Arsenal game. After
yeah, I just want to see someone's head. Who knows who'll be managing Arsenal by that time?
Yeah, after Wonga bleaches his hair and turns into Jorginho.
Yes, exactly. Well, by then Arsenal, remember, because once you're in a relegation scrap, you've got to get Big Sam in to relegate. So it could be Big Sam.
I think Big Sam could do a job for you there, Wonga.
No, guys.
Shit, so we just talk about the game. Should we just talk about
Let's
Chelsea?
Do it. Let's do it.
The poor guy, he's taking fire. He's not getting any time. Yeah, the floor is yours. And also, of course,
Arsenal.
But you got to start talking before Mosa gets loud, because once he gets loud, there's no muting him. We can't put his
Arsenal.
Where was your 12th man, bro?
It's a best dance.
They were booing at halftime and booing at the end of the game. That is
it. Yeah. They weren't even at the end of the game.
They already left, guys.
Yeah.
You should have had a penalty, Wonga. You should have had a penalty.
No, that's definitely what I was going to bring that up as well. Penalty call you had was a penalty. Last year they said, okay, any little touch, whatever. I don't know what they said, but David Luiz did the least anyone could have done, and he got a red card straight out. This year they changed the rules. They say whatever they make it. They say they're going to let obviously things. They're not going to let the soft things qualify for penalties.
We've seen quite a few opportunities for the soft
things. But now, you see, the thing is now that for me, I can't understand how that even falls under that category. Though I don't even know what that is, because
It's the same category as the Dele Alli category for me. It's the I feel it's the, it can be a foul because, and it also can be seen as it was coming together, you know, because they were coming together and it was not that James tripped him. It was a coming together that prevented Saka from going forward.
No, you see, but you see, that's what I'm trying to say now. So look where the ball is. Saka's running straight. He's saying Saka's running straight. I'm not saying this by any means that this is us qualifying for the game, but I'm just worried about the way decisions are going forward, especially in the previous game when they held our keeper.
He's trying to get a goal at least for this season.
Saka literally
is going. Just one goal of the month. One goal of the month for Arsenal, guys. Not yet.
$100 million gone, boy, into dust.
But
like Jason says,
look, Claude. I think the thing is, if you look at it, it's for me, it's as the same thing as someone. If you say someone is like you get Neymar, you dribble someone and they accidentally kick you. For me, that thing falls in the same category. That guy has gone nowhere. His legs have literally taken him out. It was a mistake, but he's taken Saka out. Saka had a clear opportunity. If Saka gets the ball, we're in a dangerous position. That's what I'm not understanding here. Saka's not the one who's bumped into him.
Wonga,
he's clearly taken him out.
Look, we can talk about the penalty, okay? And we can go in round circles why it was one, why it wasn't one. But I think for Arsenal's situation, in terms of we're looking at the whole game.
There are bigger problems. There are much bigger problems.
And we're isolating that one scenario. I mean, how else did this game play out? What are the other scenarios that you're looking at?
Tierney was exposed.
Not just Tierney. Tierney was exposed.
Everybody was exposed.
They were all exposed. Yeah. The manager's head was down like
abuse. Anti-abuse and anti-abuse like a rally right now for Mari because he was abused.
But bro,
he was abused by Lukaku.
You see, that's the thing with Arsenal. Arsenal number one, yeah, Mari can't defend. I think that's number one.
He was bullied.
Then the second thing there, I don't think Arsenal knew, even if they had a game plan, I don't think it was clear with everyone. Because now, on both occasions, both goals, Tierney comes in, he gets sucked in, leaving the other guy wide on the wing. It's either Tierney doesn't trust Pablo Mari, or the instruction given to him was wrong. Because they're clearly there. You stay, you keep your line. Pablo Mari has no one. I don't even think anyone had a man at that moment, you know, until Tierney pulls in and decides he's going to go to Lukaku and then trouble begins. They switch the ball, James calls, and then the Lukaku's one, goodness me, Pablo Mari decides to run next to
So if you look at
Arsenal, what they spend as well, you can look at Arsenal, we spend 129 million, we spend 50 on a defender. For me, if they spent another 50 on another defender, knowing that Gabriel was also not going to probably start the season, I think maybe and also he has no backup as well. I mean, if Gabriel goes out, who comes in? This is what I... Pablo Mari.
Gabriel,
it's
holding,
tough times.
White. Yeah, you shout.
That's what White is. We're talking about people that can defend. I'm not talking about people times. Putting there. They also got Chambers. Chambers as well. I think Chambers is also this thing of
guys,
utility.
Arsenal problems are baby, guys.
I just want to say this. Like, I've made the comparison in the past saying, you know, Shame, I see what Arsenal going through. It's when Liverpool had Roy Hodgson and but I'm looking back at it. I'm like, it's nowhere near the same thing. Like Roy Hodgson, sure, he's a bit of a dinosaur, but he was pragmatic and he had no money to spend. Arsenal have spent their money. They've got a manager who doesn't know what he's doing. He's completely out of his depth. The club's being run in by a kid. I don't know what the hell's going on there, guys.
It looks like Arsenal has spent 1 million. It looks like Arsenal has spent nothing, actually.
Exactly.
They've just spent these guys to go on holiday and go come back and come soft. They come back
soft. So you hear? Do you guys hear that? I said what Jason said
as well. £50 million on a centre-back that nearly got relegated. And you guys love Brighton. I know you do. But
I know, but
they nearly got relegated.
Yes.
We love Brighton because they play nice football.
No,
they're 17.
Nick, we agree with you that £50 million is too much. I think 20.
No, 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 but what makes him a good centre back? Tell me what makes him a good centre back. You should have taken Jamal Lascelles. He finished higher than Brighton.
Guys, We have to consider Arsenal fans' mental health. We have to really watch our comments around the league because it's actually scary.
I know you're making a joke, but remember when we're doing the relegation thing, we're discussing.
It's actually very scary.
I asked the question. I said, should we not throw? And I was jokingly said everyone had a good laugh. I said, should we not include Arsenal in this conversation? Everyone's like, no. Arteta, if he doesn't, we know they're probably not going to beat Man City. He loses the next game. Oh, they're not going to go shopping for a new manager. Correct me if I'm wrong. Or they're going to stay with the same man.
What? Even if
listen, that's what I'm trying to explain. So yeah. You see, the thing is, that's what worries me the most out of everything. Yeah, there goes Jason. He says Varane was cheaper. We could have bought Varane 3 times. But anyways, they said Arteta says that he's
your mental health is most important. Right now. We care about that, sir. Oh,
man. So you know. So they asked. So Arteta. I can't remember if it was. I can't remember when it was, but I did read Arteta saying that the signings. He says you can see what we're trying to achieve by the signings we've made. and that's a lie. I don't know why he's saying that for us. Because
is
we can't see that.
Oh my goodness. First goalkeeper. Guys, 30 million on a relegated goalkeeper, guys. Relegated.
It's confusion. It's big confusion, guys, because what tough times.
Do people think at Arsenal you could have gotten Darlow for 10 million at Newcastle?
It's like Cillo, what Cillo's saying now. I don't know what I feel like there's a sense of panic, or I don't know what it is there in the guys who are signing players.
We love you, we appreciate you. As Warren said, Warren understands.
You see, like William, the buying of William now. William is set to leave now.
Yeah,
William is also set to leave. And obviously, he's a guy. Yeah, and zero. You see
heard
a guy say
the other day, he hammered that Arsenal fan. He's like, don't come and tell me you sign in punters there that are 30 years old from Brazil and you're getting rid of them for free. You're giving them the most, the biggest contract.
Exactly.
Louise and William. But now what? William's gonna go for free, bro.
Yeah, so you see on Instagram. William was busy celebrating with the Chelsea guys while they were celebrating the fact that they'd punished you guys that same day. He liked a picture of them celebrating the 2-0 victory.
But it kind of confirms that thing of, you know, you joke around about it, they're going there to retire, but it's exactly what they're doing. I don't think Edu and them are doing a proper job. We're not getting players that are hungry. They just,
He's getting his Brazilian friends. He got his Brazilian friends pre-contract.
Yes, exactly what he's doing.
Where's
getting kickbacks.
Where's Pablo Mari from? Brazil.
Edu is getting kickbacks.
Brazil. And Pablo Mari's bad.
So what he's doing need to take place.
So Cello, what he's doing essentially is, and I can tell you, I've sort of figured out how our football clubs work now over the last couple of years. But there's an agent that's working with Edo straight. And that agent is like Mendes with Wolves. He's saying, let me get these big contracts here. You know, Mendes is probably in a better position. But let me get these big contracts for my players here so they can live a nice retirement there. And you've got Willian who's done zero for you. I was quite excited when he arrived there, but he's done zero for you.
Yeah. Literally, maybe 90 minutes.
Luis tries a little bit. You can see, but he's very limited in his own ability. Like, he needs to play in a very specific team where he's not exposed. Because if he plays in an Arsenal, he's going to be exposed. And Murray is another situation.
Any player putting on a Gunners shirt right now are going to be exposed. I think, Wonga, just before we touch on the Chelsea's performance, round off pretty much your overall thoughts and where you think they're headed and your feeling as an Arsenal fan here.
Look, I think the obvious thing is we have to fix what's happening at the defense. There's no defense there. It's just worrying. Especially, like I said, with Lukaku's goal, look, I mean, the guy, he's a good striker. He's probably one of the best in the league. Definitely, if I think about it, he could be top three, you know, in the league right now. But
I feel like you guys will be saying that every week.
No, but you see the way Pablo Mari like just put his hands up, you know, it sort of sums up the way Arsenal defend. You know, there's no desire. Like Chelsea, even though like Arsenal, I think could have had, I mean, good opportunity there, but you could see Chelsea were defending with, you know, they had a purpose that no one's going to score today. But Arsenal were like, if they score, you know, just let it happen. Let's try to get a goal. And I can't. So if we're going to go in our matches like this, the danger is every, like, already, the first team we played, Brentford, are coming in there, and they say they can win a game, and that's problematic. And I've said this, and I said it last week, I think. I said, Highbury was nice, but, this, Emirates, it's not, the teams,
days, bro.
Teams don't fear anything. Teams don't fear anything at the Emirates. They come there, they know they can grab something. So I'm very worried, especially
it's an opportunity.
And the board, as far as I understand it from my side, they believe in Arteta, which is, especially with what he's doing.
I don't think they've got a choice. I think it's not that they believe in Arteta, but they're saying, Arteta, you have to believe in us and you are the clown for this job. That's what's going on. Mosa, we're going to talk about the Lukaku thing. Yeah. That man's your background for a good reason.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. But explain yourself. No. Explain yourself first.
Go to Carlos' question. Let's start with Carlos' question firstly.
Yes. Carlos' question was,
explain yourself.
Yes, you think Lukaku is not good enough for Chelsea? Yeah, at first I thought he wasn't. Like, I thought there was a lot more development which was needed on his first touch and his ability to hold players off.
But I told
at this point in time, I think he's done very well in this first game, but it is against a very weak Arsenal defense. And I have to emphasize that point. There are a lot of factors from the Arsenal defense which I think they could have done themselves a favor in terms of not making Lukaku shine.
But his first touch doesn't get affected by the opposition. Touch is your first touch. Like his touch was good against Arsenal. That's not going to suddenly get worse if you guys play.
And his speed increased against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Matt, can you elaborate a little bit? Just explain that more to Musa, please.
I think that's careful. I think it's worth being careful because if there's direct lines, if you've got, as a soccer player, if you've got 15 meters to gather where the ball is coming, 20 meters to gather where the ball is coming from, it's a lot easier to gather your first touch. You can actually pace yourself very well. If you've guys that are going to hold you.
If you have the time and space. If you have the time and space.
Murray, you literally can do anything with the time and space. Yeah.
But it was falling all over the place. Like, you know that shit print that you used to buy in the paper?
It's the most perfect thing that you want as a very physical striker. You actually want players that are going to be sitting on your shoulder all the time because you know exactly where they are. You can actually put them into your back pocket, as they say. You put them in your back pocket and then you can control yourself and measure yourself as they come. He didn't even have protection from his midfield, first of all. And I don't know, Wanga, how you guys are going to solve that in terms of other strikers. But for me, it was very impressive because Chelsea had a focal point. A point which we could go towards, which was, and Werner was kind of there, but he was always moving away from the focal point. He was making runs off of the focal point, which is very different this season. So he shut me up in a lot of, very nice ways, to be honest. And I think as soccer players and as professionals and as sports athletes, it's nice to see an athlete that comes into your infrastructure and does that, right? Like he comes into your space and actually tells you, shut up, I'm here. Cristiano's here. Messi's here. They're here to prove a point, to show you who exactly they are.
Say that now. Lukaku is?
Okay.
No, so Lukaku is here.
Did you see speed, Musa? Look.
He was. We really need a better defense to work against because honestly, I don't think an Arsenal defense is the best.
This weekend you're playing
Van Dijk.
He's healed.
And that'll be much better. It'll be a much better spectacle.
Saying the defense, that Lukaku looked good in part because of the defense. Are you saying if Lukaku wasn't on, was Werner going to score a goal and set up another?
He probably would have hit that over the bar.
I haven't seen Werner do that in a while.
Yep.
I haven't seen Werner do that in a while. But like in terms of like he's a very good striker.
Do you know what I loved about Lukaku, bro? The fact that Lukaku always wants the ball by his feet. Like there were moments where James passed to Mount and Lukaku was angry and said, "Why didn't you pass me the ball?" So he demands the ball. Whereas Werner doesn't demand the ball because Werner has lost his confidence. Lukaku still has so much confidence. He has so much confidence in himself. He's always asking the ball.
Pass, he's buzzing.
Pass.
He could have scored more than one.
You mentioned Mount. Yeah. That opportunity where... why I'm excited about having Lukaku there is that opportunity where Mount actually gave him the ball to his head, like literally on a silver platter to finish, and then the Arsenal keeper saved it. And he couldn't believe that the Arsenal keeper had saved it, you know?
Yeah.
And what I realized, which I never realized before, was that Lukaku's actually going to be much in a much better position with the players around him. He's going to have Ziyech. He's going to have Havertz. He's going to have a Mount. Right behind him, literally right behind him to give him opportunities to get into those positions. He has to make better. I understand that he didn't understand that the keeper saved that, but that's not good enough for £100 million signing. He should.
No, I can't actually take this. That save was crazy. It was crazy, but he should make sure Cristiano and Messi.
I'm looking at him at the same level.
No, you don't have to.
How do you hit that harder?
You're joking.
They'll make sure. Yeah, they don't have that opportunity.
So what you actually want to say is Lukaku is here. That's what you actually want to say.
Yes, the boy is here. He came here by too expensive. 30 million too much, but look, it's fine. He's here now.
Guys, it's tough being Lukaku.
He's here now.
He has to convince his own fans before convincing other fans.
Look, but in the convincing part, he did very, very well in terms of actually showing us that there's a focal point now, which was what was missing last season. Last season, there was Werner making runs wide all the time. He was looking for his pace.
Why do you want the best car ever if you've got the car that's filling the gap that you say you had last season?
It's £100 million, man.
Who would you have different? Who would you have most?
What do you care how much he costs?
In that space, I'm looking at Harry Kane. I'm looking at Bayern Munich. Who's at Bayern Munich?
Came on and scored.
Lewandowski.
I'm looking at Messi. I'm looking at players like that, you know?
Kane is 150 million, though. Kane is 150 million.
I'm looking at players that go fucking shove the game.
But Kane is 150 million. That's too much.
Yeah, guys, and
Lukaku is going to make Chelsea a title contender this season. That's what they're going to do. Lukaku is making Chelsea a title contender.
Yeah, 100%.
Look at other players.
All the players around him will get better. Yeah, which is nice.
I don't know why we're trying to convince him, guys. We want him to actually still argue because because he's going to lose his bet, and then what does he have to do? Dye his hair?
He's shut all of us up. 100%. Yeah, and that's why
not
I have
us. Don't talk
he's
for
shut
us.
Me up.
Don't talk for us.
Me. The boy has shut me up, and he's done it well. But I have to still emphasize that Arsenal defense was not a decent defense. If it was a better organized defense, yes, it would be good that Lukaku did.
I'm going to cut you off right there because you've said the same thing and I'm actually irritated. Now we're going to talk about Man United, Southampton. There we go.
That's a shocking defense, Wanga. You must be careful, Wanga. It's a long way to go, Chip. That's shocking. They're going to last, dog. Relegation is real.
Let's hear
what happened on this day. I mean, we all expect Man United to go to Southampton, St. Mary's there, and get the job done. It happened that Fred did get his first goal this season, but in his own net. You want to elaborate to how this game?
No, he scored last week.
He scored last week, brother.
Yeah, guys, in the right net.
Come on, yeah. Goal on TV, Edmund.
Silo, before we start, when I watched the game. Yeah. It was like the first 20, 30 minutes. I don't know how it ended up towards the end, but Fred made 1, 2, 3, I think, bad passes, like within the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes. He just didn't look in it. And then I go look at my phone and I see Fred scored an own goal. I said, yo, he must be having a bad game. But yeah.
He was having a bad game. No, and I don't know how he gets selected.
He was horrible. He was horrible.
Fred is tired.
Guys, I think...
Cello, your team is good, bro, but Fred, come on.
No, we've said this
I've got a holding midfielder here at the Varsity Cup. I think he's better than Fred.
And that's actually fair.
I told you, the weakest link of Man United, Mac Fred. You know what I mean? I think, the other worst part is the fact that Fred played poorly, but also Matic played poorly. And then Solskjaer didn't even change it at halftime. You know what I mean? So a manager, a real manager, guys, sees that both players are playing poorly and takes one of them off and puts on someone different. That's what a real manager does.
But that's why I say, still, it's going to be the most frustrating part of your element this season. Ole out. It's not going to be about the players. It's going to be about Ole out.
I agree with Mota. They are
definitely. That was always the question mark. You know what I mean? I think it's not about the squad or the talent. You know what I mean? I think a better manager would somehow make it work, even with the limitation of the players at hand. But I think, you know, when you've started certain players, and then there's a Donny van de Beek who's sitting on the bench and the camera goes to his face and he's looking so sad. But
why did they even bring him on the bench? They should just let him play for the under-23s.
But you see Fred,
but you see Fred
literally misplacing the pass and you can't even decide to pull him off. And then when he does decide to pull off Fred, guys, he decides to put on McTominay, who had a bit of a niggle, and that's why he didn't start the game, right? So why don't you put on Donny for Fred instead of McTominay? McTominay had a niggle. McTominay didn't affect the game at all, but you still decide to overlook Donny. It's sad, man.
Van der Sar sold in the theatre. Dreams should have realized you're signing the
theatre. No,
man. But you saw that letter. You saw that letter he sent to Manny Rata. He vividly said there that please take care of one of our boys. Yeah. Take care of Donny.
Yeah,
He's never going to get injured. He's never going to get burnt out. He's very well taken care of.
He's missing out on two seasons of competitive football, which is the difficulty. He's actually a very special talent.
He's going back to Ajax eventually. Like the other guy that went to Everton, he's back there now as well.
I would literally, if I was him, guys, I would demand a transfer right now, tomorrow.
Anyway, literally, just to play.
Yo, Arsenal.
Play, guys.
Even Newcastle, guys.
Even Newcastle, you know what I mean? You know, anyway, guys. Like, it's
nice, imagine Shelby, Donny, and Willock.
Jason. I love that comment, bro. Let him sign another extension, boy. Let him stay there for another four or five. Another one is
what Colo is saying right there is that when he brought on Lingard, instead of Van de Beek, you know what I mean? And Lingard just came back from COVID, guys. Lindor had COVID, recovered from COVID, trained for 4 days, and he still gets in ahead of Donny. Nah, man.
That doesn't make sense.
And you can see his confidence, right? You can see where he was hanging around the field. Like, he was hanging around very close to the halfway line, very far out wide. It's just your manager is going to be the most frustrating part of the season. Whether you get results or not, it's going to be the most frustrating part.
Always. I think and the worst part is it doesn't help that his former teammates keep defending him and keep making stupid statements in the media because, you know, I don't know why they're protecting him, because at the end of the day, guys, there are players in the squad that should be obviously helping Man United challenge. But the coach makes stupid decisions. Stupid decisions.
Tough times will never last.
Saturday's result, was it more down to St. Mary's having their home fans and Southampton giving them something to shout about and less United showing up? Or was it a little bit of Ole getting it wrong? What happened there?
No, it's a bit of both, man. But I think, you know, what I like from Southampton, you know, is that Southampton is a high-pressing team. So they pressed Man United very well in the first half, and that's where the goal came from. I think it was a foul, but you know, even Brendan Rodgers said it's a foul. Manizela United player or coach or ex-player or whatever, and he said it's a foul. So you know, I think Southampton did well to press Man United. There were a couple of chances that they had. There was a couple of Maguire was asleep for some reason on the weekend. There was a chance that Armstrong had, and De Gea made a very good save. So you know, I think Southampton was sharp, were quite sharp, and there were some young players that they had. That Livramento, who's a ex-Chelsea youth product, right back, played very well. The left back, also from France, played very well. So a lot of their players played very well, you know. And I think that home crowd does definitely help. But also, as Man United, you should be winning such games. And you should be... you remember what I said last week, you know. I would take a 1-0 over a 5-1 because I know Man United has these... you know, frailties at the back, you know, and I think it's time now. It's time Solskjaer just says, okay, cool. I bought two players.
It's tough.
I'm putting them in the starting lineup first and foremost, and then we can build the rest of the team around it. You know what I mean? Because this thing of Varane, not starting, yes, he obviously came only, he only trained for a week, but still, I think it's time for him to start now. Sancho to start as well, and then play Greenwood through the middle. Greenwood is...
it's tough times, though.
Greenwood
and... Why is he playing Sancho? What's the reason? Why isn't
it's
going
to be tough times. Yeah,
you said this, though. I don't think... I think it's going to take time for him to adapt.
No, but Sancho came back...
He's not playing.
But Sancho was...
Yeah, exactly.
Came back and he was a bit ill. So he came back to preseason a bit late because he was a bit ill. But I think at the end of the day, you need to sign the players that you signed. Because this thing of taking
for confidence,
time,
for morale, for everything.
But I said this last week. I said I don't understand Man United. You guys don't have an out and out striker besides
Greenwood.
Greenwood's not an out and out. It's Cavani. Greenwood's actually he's actually a wide player who can play down the middle.
No,
he's the best finisher.
He's the best finisher, but he's not a striker. He's not a striker.
But Ole is not a striker. Looking at it like he's looking at an under 15 team.
But in the youth
team, yeah, he's looking at an under 15 team.
Yes, okay.
So Ole is looking at it in that same sense.
But what I'm saying is, compare him. If you had to have an out-and-out striker and you had Greenwood to the side of him and Rashford to the side of him, then you're looking strong. But if he's your focal point, we're talking about focal points earlier and we're saying Lukaku's a focal point.
Yeah.
Greenwood's never going to be that sort of player. Greenwood's always going to be that flair player off the sides. I'm telling you, there's an opportunity now and Man United are letting it slip. You go and you put all your money into buying Harry Kane. You must. Why not?
Why didn't Gary Neville call the man a saint?
This is Harry Kane 2.0.
What he's doing. Gary Neville thinks he's taking the player.
Listen, if I'm a Man United fan, if I'm a Newcastle fan in your position, no, you go and get him because he's guaranteed goals. He's guaranteed goals.
But we don't have the money. We don't have the money.
Sell players, bro. Sell those tired. Sell Fred and McTominay. Sell the tired ones.
No,
and
but
you will have enough. Right?
We I'm see them as tired, but Ole doesn't see them as tired. He'd sell probably they'd actually offer
Donny.
Pogba
sell
a lot quicker.
You know what Ole is.
Yeah, Donny, Pogba, a Martial type of player. But they wouldn't sell the actual players that are underperforming,
Mosa,
in my view.
Ole is that teacher at school that you really didn't like and only gave certain kids, the most annoying kids in your class, the best marks and let them do things. That's what Ole is. Doesn't care about the other performers. Likes X,
who,
Y, Z
who
before
the
they get A's.
He doesn't care.
That's what it is. That's what that is there, Ole.
A problem. He'd probably let go of the best talent at Man United. You guys would be willing to let go of a Pogba. If you got the right price, you'd be willing to let go of a Pogba. You'd be willing to let go of a Martial. You'd be willing to let go of a Donny, which is scary, man. Like, that's actually – those are some of the best talented players in Europe. But you guys would be willing to let them go for a manager who you haven't even tested or tried.
Gentlemen, and that's –
Sorry, quickly. You said to – sorry, Claudio. Celo, you want to hold the midfielder, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, you get a holding midfielder, you're still not going to win the league.
They've got Matic.
You need no. You get a holding midfielder. Choose your holding midfielder. Whatever one you want in the world, you're still not going to win the league because you don't have a guy who's going to score you 30 goals.
They'll have to get Kante from us.
And that's my opinion.
No, it's true. But the problem is, 100%. Nick, I think you need to look at our season last season. The problem wasn't scoring goals. The problem was
conceding goals early before you even score.
We conceded too many goals last season. We can't be conceding 30 plus goals to challenge for a league title. That's where we had to come back from behind and then end up sometimes drawing
all the time.
Or winning. But the difference was not us not being able to score.
But
right?
The difference is your challenges are adding, you're not adding. You've added a centre back and you've added Sancho, who's a youngster, bro.
But I said we need.
But Varane is an excellent centre back.
No, he is. You've added that, but you're not gonna challenge because of that. You need goals.
United's got the squad to win the league.
We didn't need to get Sancho.
They've got the squad. They've got everybody they need. They literally have the capacity to win anything they want to in European football. But the flop is their manager.
When was the last time Man United won the league? I'm just asking.
2013.
And who was the striker then?
Van Persie.
Yeah, and look at that.
Van Persie and Rooney were the strikers.
I don't know why
and those guys are cool.
Do you have the same caliber now? Do you think you do?
No, we don't.
Cavani's won leagues.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, I would go and spend all the money on Kane.
We don't have the money on Kane. I don't know.
Cole was asking the question. If you had to choose right now between Haaland and Kane.
I'll turn Haaland.
There we go. Okay, there you got your answer, Cole.
No question. I don't even think about.
But Haaland would be on the bench now.
He would be on the bench.
You guys need to let go of the manager, man. He'd be on the bench.
Guys, that's the fact of the matter. This guy signs players, and they all bench. Guys, look at the players we signed last season. None of them start.
It's quite a juicy combo here. Do you guys want to talk about Newcastle again?
No. But it's so scary, man.
Let's talk about Liverpool.
I feel like you guys, as Man United, you have the squad to make everything happen. It's unfortunate that you have that manager at the helm of
the wheel.
Yeah.
At the wheel.
He's unfortunately Mossa he doesn't have the capacity to manage it.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, everyone watching, Moss is on the crusade of I don't know what, but we're going to continue. And you know, you asked
the question. But if they sign Haaland, if they signed literally they signed Varane. I rate Varane one of the best defenders in world football. He's won everything in world football. Literally everything. And a couple of times. And then you put them on the bench for fucking McTominay and Maguire. Lindelof, same thing. That's shocking.
In the group when we said, you know what, he's vocal because he knows it's his 40th appearance and we haven't said anything up until this moment.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
That's
shut
that's
out.
Talk about Liverpool for a little bit of the show.
Let's talk about your team.
Matthew's time to go and do other things. ZC's spoken about his team. Wonga's also
And your midfield.
Yes, the midfield was an interesting one. Firstly, back at Malwood. Anfield, what am I saying? Well, training, they're not even at Malwood anymore. That the ex training session.
You live in the past, yo.
I went for my vaccine. Bro.
Did you go for yours today?
It shows.
I went. I went for mine today, man.
Awesome. That was good, man. But yeah, okay. Back at Anfield, crowd was loud. They were good to go. The midfield was interesting. Harvey Elliott, 17-year-old, coming into midfield, not just coming off the bench.
Beautiful.
Starting. And for
beautiful.
Me, this was an interesting player because when they signed him, there's a lot of talk about him. When he was training with the team, the coaches were saying this player is a very intelligent player. Then they loaned him out to Blackburn. He played the season in the championship. He was the third highest assist creator.
Beautiful
in the
player.
Yep, scoring 6 goals. And watching him play, when I watched him, I didn't think, especially when you're playing him in attacking third, the out in the wings. So if you put him in a
final
position,
third.
Mane, yeah. So, yeah, final third. Like, this player's never going to make it there because he just doesn't have the pace. They've dropped him a bit deeper in the field, playing next to Henderson and Keita, and what a player. What I like, and why I say this, is the maturity that he's playing with at his age blows my mind. A lot of the time, you take a touch, if you feel like you've got the crowd, you're just making your home debut here, you're releasing the ball, you want to get onto the ball, you want to do something. This guy,
you want to do more.
You want to do more. He did everything just right. You know, the porridges, the three porridges, he ate the right porridge because he just, when the pass was on, he played.
What?
The pass, you know, the bed. You know, the bed is the story of the porridge.
I know,
Not too cold, just right.
No, wait, in this story, in this story, is Klopp Goldilocks.
Everybody get on this one.
Three porridge.
But if Klopp is a Goldilocks, he's found a really good talent and he's given him confidence. That's a front three which is very difficult to crack into.
Exactly. And the only reason I'm going on about this is because I wasn't 100% convinced about the player. And then after seeing him and seeing him pick up the pass, and now I'm going, wow, you know, we really do have something there. And that's exciting, especially given his age. I think to Jason's point here with Jota, I mean, it's two games now that Bobby's been on bench, Jota's played, and we just know with Jota in the box, he doesn't do all the link-up play as well as Bobby, but you've got a goal for it. In that game,
he's my fantasy team for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey. 7.6 is value for money as well. Just putting that out there. I mean, he did nothing, guys. He did nothing in the half. He did absolutely nothing until he scored the goal. It was brilliant. And then, you know, he's done his part. And then all of a sudden, the other players will start looking good. So, and then also special mention to Tsimikas. I gave him so much shit last week. This week,
you did,
I gave him so much shit. Not only did he come through with an assist, he definitely listened to me last week. But he also came in fighting. That's what he did. He's still not going to play when the other boy is not
there. Robertson comes back. Yeah, he's still not going to play.
Going on. I don't know if anyone else wants to add anything.
Like, Elliot is excellent. His age and his maturity for his age is excellent. He doesn't take too many more. Like, what I see with a lot of young players is young players trying to take a few more touches to show their presence in a game and show their impact in a game so that they can value themselves a little bit more. He does the opposite, which is incredible, right? Like a younger player shouldn't be doing that. It's actually with more maturity you do that, where you get to positions which are excellent and then you have the ball and you take fewer touches. And he does that right now. So I think the fact that your coach is actually putting him in those positions right now shows that he sees that element as well, because he's not a dumb coach to put him in second game.
You only came off.
Thiago's there. There are very excellent players around him. Yeah.
Celo, you're too kind. I thought you were going to say he's a poor man's Billy Gilmore. Because you love that man, man.
Musa,
did I say Celo? I meant Musa.
I was surprised Musa didn't mention Gilmore because I was also thinking about the same.
But
player.
I think it shows the
amount of talent coming through in Britain, Scotland, and England, that you are getting these, diminutive type players, but actually that are being given a chance. Because historically, in the UK, smaller players weren't really being given a chance in the midfield. They were given
and you don't get many good ball players as well. They're
exactly.
Good ball players.
Yes. So your Jack Grealish's and your Gilmore's and your Harvey Elliott's, they're all about 1.7 meters and shorter. But they're actually, you know, doing well in the midfield, and I think it shows that Klopp as well. I think he's a a perfect manager for the player.
A player like that, yes.
Integrating 100%. Him a little bit, you know. Curtis Jones was last season. Other seasons was Trent, you know what I mean? So I think every season he is trying to, you know, integrate a teenager into the squad. Yeah. So
I'm not surprised. I mean, Jonjo Shelvey really set the bar. So I think...
talking about Roy Hodgson.
Let me not. Sorry, I'm
laughing. I want to ask a question. Jason Slade.
Hello, Al.
Liverpool looking like looking like early contenders for the league. Key players are fresh, having the summer off. Everyone's opinion on this. I mean, I obviously watch the side. I've got my fair opinion, but in terms of
Virgil.
External perspective,
January, February. That's what I'm going to say.
AFCON.
Yes, January, February. AFCON.
Virgil.
Wasn't someone saying the
epitome of a leader in the back?
Yeah, but I mean. From Liverpool side, didn't you say, Claudio, that they were only going to go after the group stages? Or Cello might have said that.
I don't know. So the only thing that's happening now is that obviously the Premier League is not allowing all players right now to go away on internationals to countries that are on the red list. So obviously your Salahs and so on won't go for the World Cup qualifiers. But when AFCON comes around, and Guinea is asking for Keita, Egypt is asking for Salah, and Mane is being asked by Senegal. Mane is the captain of Senegal. FIFA's going to say, guys, you have to release the players. You have to release the players because it's an official window or whatever tournament or whatever that is sanctioned by FIFA. So yeah, that
and
be
the
a
problem
very
is
tricky
the
time.
Problem is they can allow them to go. When they come back, they still probably have to wait 10-day quarantine. So it's not just the 4 weeks that they would be away. It would be a bit longer.
Yeah. And that's why I think like a Virgil would be more important because a player like Virgil is actually very very. So if you look at players like Tsimikas, they're very very instrumental and they do what they do very well when they get the opportunity, but there's people in the squad that puts them to check. And the people in the squad are players like Virgil. And having players like that bank is super important for a Liverpool squad. And that's why I think the manager of Liverpool is so smart. Because he's putting players, Elliot and all of them, in where they can actually see that there's players around them that can craft their game in a sense and kind of mold them to where they want to be. They won't need everybody there. Yes, having a Salah would be nice. Yes, having a Mane would be nice. But if you've got a bigger squad and bigger contingent of players there to actually then follow the line, that's important. And then
players like Origi will be very important.
Hey. I know you're making a joke. I know you're making a joke, but in the past, he has been important, especially to our success. He's come on. And that's the thing. You know, I'm looking at Origi. I know you're making a joke at his expense here, but when we're looking at other players needing strikers, he's done the job for Liverpool. Last season, he didn't play that much, but in big occasions, he's come on and he's scored. And he's he's an impact player, whether we like it or not. You're never going to start him, but he does the business. On that note, gentlemen, it's come to that time where we've got to give our final thoughts. I'm going to start off with Wonga. We're going to go Matthew, Moss, Nick, and then Cello. So let's hear it.
Oh, well, for me, I'll just answer Jason's question you asked at the beginning about the rumors about Conte. I don't think it would happen. I don't think Arsenal would have a problem paying him, especially because there was a time also that Arsene Wenger was the most paid manager. In all the top leagues. And I think now,
like 20 years ago, mate.
No, yeah, listen, but now, then when they changed it, obviously, when they changed in, obviously, they're paying the manager now significantly, less. They don't even fall in, Arteta falls in the top there. And obviously, they've obviously spent that budget on players like Willian. Now he's giving him a belly. They spent that money on, Pepe. And now they've also spent the money on Ben White. So there is money in Arsenal. I think they can get a better manager, but I think they want Arteta, which is, nothing we can do but just watch and see what happens.
Good luck and God willing, boy. Stay out.
I think for me, it's the the 100 and however many million it is Arsenal has spent, and they've spent it so badly. It just makes me wonder if Arteta and Edu are that bad at regular shopping. Like, do their wives send them to the supermarket? Like, they've got to get a couple of things, and they come back and they get the wrong brand. The wife's like, why are these bin bags green? He's like, they were the most expensive there. So they've got a hole in. Trust the process, you know? I think it's, it's just phenomenal. I think that, you know, of all the, I think people, not enough is being made of that. The 100 millions that are being bandied about for Grealish, the price tag on Lukaku, the money that, that Spurs want for Kane. Arsenal have spent all of that. And like you said, it's had no impact. And I think for me, and it's a similar problem to what United have there. It's the manager's not fit for purpose. It's clear that Arteta never has a plan B. We've talked about it a few times on the show. He doesn't have a plan B. When it doesn't work, he just kind of sits there like as shocked as all of us, like he can't do anything about it. Same thing with Ole. I still think he's improved a lot. You look at the version of Ole we saw this time last season to where he is today. He has improved as a manager, but he still has this tendency to not take what he sees as risky chances. He falls back on what he thinks he knows. And that's why it's players like Van der Beek are the ones who are losing out, which is, it's horrible to see as football fans because he was such an exciting talent when he was at Ajax. And I think for me, more now than probably maybe 10 years ago, the role of the manager is being put into like stark focus. And I think managers like Ole are really going to struggle when you see the likes of Tuchel and the work that Klopp's done at Liverpool, the role of a good manager and managing the squad and knowing who to put in when and stuff is so key, engendering that positive feeling and that we won't stop kind of mentality. And managers like Arteta are just not living up to it at the moment. And it's letting down whole sides, really. That's me.
Yeah. Shout out to that. I agree with that element of the managers because, if you look at Nuno, who's come to Tottenham, it doesn't feel like as if the baton has fallen very far down in terms of what the manager can do and produce some results at Tottenham. And Tottenham are in a space where they can create a lot of momentum and can create a lot of growth within themselves. Whereas with clubs like Man United, I think that there's a ceiling to Ole's ability to create very good trajectory and very good momentum. Yes, they might come out second, they might come out third or fourth in the season, but there's still that thing which will always be niggling their abilities, even after the spend. Unfortunately, with Arsenal, I think Arteta is not the man for the job completely. They have spent so much money, and in their scenario, I don't know how they're going to fix the sinking boat. I don't know where they're going to patch what is going wrong at the club, and that's a scary scenario that I feel like needs a little bit of us to care for Arsenal fans and Arsenal supporters so that we can actually ask them, look, are you mentally all right? Because it is scary. I understand. Like week to week, you guys are going to face challenges which are going to be bigger than you guys are able to comprehend and able to support yourselves in those scenarios. In my view, with Chelsea, very happy with the manager I have. Very happy with the signing I have. He's came up with the point.
Could anyone tell that Mosso is really happy with all the things that are happening? Could anyone tell? Yes?
It's hectic. He's been subdued today. It's hard to know where his emotions are.
So calm.
Yeah. So I'm very happy. Like, honestly, I'm very happy with a striker that tries to prove points. It's important that a striker does that in my view. And he's doing it at this point in time. And yes, it was against an Arsenal defense and a weak defense, which doesn't give us a really good barometer of the defenders that he's going to face up in the future, but it does give me some hope because there is a focal point, which is something that was missing over the past two seasons, where we had Diego Costa, we had a Drogba before. Now it's back, and that feeling is back as well. So I think
Lukaku's
they could be
back.
More.
Nick,
yeah,
Lukaku's here.
So happy, you're silencing me. You're silencing me.
Yeah, we're talking about managers and like you know, their ability to change games and sort of change their club. But I'm stuck with Steve Bruce, guys. So, like, I don't think we actually really understand. You know, like, I'm on the other side of the spectrum. So, like,
I'd probably take
Wenger's position now, like, to spend £100 million on anyone. Like, you know, like, £100 million worth of players from the PSL. Like, I'd take it. But yeah, like, I think just from my side, I've said it the last 2 weeks. I think Matt, you sort of alluded to it. It's really good for the Premier League to be back. You know, my team's lost 2 weeks in a row. I'm just hopeful we can get a win before the international break, because international breaks are a lot longer if we have lost. Other than that, you know, hopefully we can beat a team that fields two goalkeepers on their bench tomorrow evening. That's how bad Burnley are and the state that they are in. And I wouldn't put it past a Steve Bruce side to sort of lose to them. So, yeah, it's good to be back. And hopefully we can get one over the line tomorrow.
Good luck.
Yeah, no. Yeah, great show. Let's see what the season has for us. But on Colo's question about if I'm Ole in or Ole out, I think it's a no-brainer, man. I think the coach
out.
The one element I do want to note that Ole has done very well is his man management of certain players within the squad. You know, I think
not Donny.
But yeah, players. Players like Luke Shaw, Pogba, I think they flourished under him and his management when they had a fallout with Mourinho previously, but they seem to be playing their best football and so on. And I think if I look at a player like Pogba, Pogba's giving it his all his energies, his celebrations for when the other guys score and stuff. He's putting in that energy, and I think he wants to win something this season. That's the most important thing with Pogba. And I think he's going to try and, you know, raise that level from the other players and just hope that the manager does the right decisions. But, you know, there's a thing that I always say with my friends that are United fans, that, you know, at Man United, there's no coach. It's just vibes and individual
games. Yeah. It's just vibes.
Yeah, it's
fine.
Yes.
That's 100%.
On that note, gentlemen, I want to talk about the vibes happening at West Ham. Shout out to Messi, the Messi of West Ham, Antonio, for becoming their all-time Premier League goal scorer of 49 goals last night. So shout out, Antonio.
And They're number one in the league.
Don't forget. Let's mention that as well. Eh? Moyes never did United at top of the log. So all he had to do to top the league was leave United. Now we know. Yeah. Maybe we could do the same.
Simple. A lot of managers will have to do the same.
Right, gentlemen, thank you very much for the show. If you haven't liked, subscribed, or even gone onto the website to buy a shirt, everything's in the comment section or in the bio. You can also join us on Discord if you haven't done that already. And gentlemen, if you don't know what to be,
be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool. Be cool. Be cool. Hey,